This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hey Robert, who's the hottest vampire, do you think?
Maybe Nosferatu.
For sure.
Yeah.
Hi everyone, you're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amaasri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. Today I am rejoined by an old guest, Robert Shand.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me back. It's a good sign you want me back.
Yeah, so actually I have something to discuss with you. Nosferatu? Really?
Well,
he's the hottest vampire you can think of?
He's got... oh no, I can't say that on air, can I?
Robert, it's been 3 seconds.
Oh god. He's very tall.
Okay, some so you're like into like tall blokes. Right? I'll just note that down for your
a
girlfriend.
A short vampire's a bit... gives you a bit of the ick, doesn't it?
Really?
Wouldn't it?
I'm going to put that in the quotes. Short vampires give you a bit of an
ick. I mean,
ick.
Yeah, it's like they just look like a little chihuahua or something, just snapping at you.
Yeah, like just like wanting to chomp on your leg.
Yeah, it's like...
give me the blood.
That was a great...
chihuahua impression.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So you think it's like a... because they're chihuahua-like that you don't like short vampires?
I just kind of said that. Actually... there is a short-ish vampire on True Blood. He's like the main vampire because he's put next to this other tall vampire called Eric Northman, and he's like this really tall Swedish guy. And yeah, he does look a bit silly standing next to him, but...
is he comedic relief?
No, not really. Well, they're both really serious. They're both really serious people. So... I actually wonder about that. I wonder if he was like a Tom Cruise kind of thing where they needed the platform to...
Hey, no shame. No shame.
No, it's great being tall.
Right. Robert wouldn't be able to relate.
How tall are you, Asha?
Can't say for certain. Maybe like 1.67.
1.67.
Maybe?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
How tall are you?
6 foot, I believe.
I don't know what that means.
That's the story I'm going to stick with.
Yeah, and I believe that. Also, Caitlin, if you're listening to this, you'll obviously have known that Robert stole your joke.
I've apologized about that already.
No, that's all good. No, but seriously, I don't want to scare you off the show already.
Yep.
Thank you for coming back.
Thank you.
If you guys don't remember, Robert came back... first came onto the podcast on episode 94, talking about vampires, specifically Twilight versus the Vampire Diaries. Was that the first time you came on, or did you come on another time?
That was my first time, my first time on a big podcast like this. So
oh, dang.
I hope
big
I did
podcast?
Okay. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm somewhat of a scientist myself. But no, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
And last time we had to cut it short, unfortunately, because of our, you know, schedules and things.
Yes.
And we didn't get to answer one of the main questions that I wanted at that time, which was who solos who, Edward or Damon? Or is it Damon or Damien?
Damon. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Damon Salvatore.
Damon Salvatore.
The Salvatore brothers, Damon and Stephen Salvatore.
And we'll get back to them.
It rolls off the tongue.
For sure. Damon Salvatore and Stephen Salvatore. Sorry. You sounded so
I feel like
so
you're
tick.
Just doing this on purpose.
No, I'm like, I'm dying here, like
okay.
losing my voice.
Okay, all right.
You guys can't see Robert's face, so he's so like...
it feels so... very confrontational, like I'm sitting quite a far away from Asha, and it's like... it feels like a weird interrogation.
Yeah, I'm interviewing
thing.
You right now.
Yeah,
actually.
Okay.
Like, how
okay.
good is your vampire knowledge, really? So, tell me more about the vampire biology within Vampire Diaries to, you know, justify why you think Damon will solo Edward.
It's not really a it's not really a competition.
Oh, yeah.
I think Damon would absolutely crush Edward. Although, okay. although I know Edward does have like a superpower type thing, so you might sway me. But firstly, Damon, I believe, is older than Edward. He was born in like 1860. No, he was alive during the Civil War, the American Civil War. So,
right.
And I think Edward was
not alive then.
He was alive then.
He was, I think it was during the Spanish influenza. I think that's what killed
him. Classic, classic.
Yeah. The classic flu.
The classic flu.
Okay, but that just says he's older.
Yeah, well, I say that because the older you are in the Vampire Diaries, the mm-hmm. stronger the vampire.
Right, so that's how they get their power meter?
Basically.
Right.
So the stronger you are, the older you are, the stronger you are. Damon, I mean, funnily enough, he's not very tall, actually. But
he needs those heels, actually.
He needs those high heels.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Damon would be a pretty... Oh, sorry, I was going to say the biology of the vampire. So they have the sharp teeth, obviously. They have hypnotic eyes that can compel humans.
Right, can they compel fellow vampires?
Some of them can. Okay.
Can Damon?
No.
Okay, off to a great start.
But yeah. What else can they do? Super speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the kind of basic. They're just like a superhuman, basically.
Here's the thing, like you say, it's not even a debate. Like, no question, Damon will solo Edward. But the things that you've listed is something that just general vampires will have. You know?
Yeah. Although.
So what's the edge?
Like, I think I said this last time is that Damon has a special ability of creating fog.
Okay.
So he could disorientate a lot of components. And he can either change into a raven or he can summon a raven. So, I don't know, the raven could pick someone's eyes out or something.
Okay.
And the fog could sort of get them sort of disorientated.
Right.
Disorient them.
Yeah.
And Damon, I think, as a character, is kind of – he plays quite dirty, so he'll use every advantage
right.
to them. He's not like an honorable fighter.
Okay. So you're saying he can shapeshift into a raven or summon a raven. He can summon fog to, you know, confuse the enemy. And he's, you know, got the he's got the hypnotic eyes, which doesn't but can't affect vampires.
No.
But he's quite old, so he's quite strong. Is he one of the oldest?
No. I think the oldest vampires in Vampire Diaries are around 1,000 years old.
Right.
He's 160 odd years old.
Mm-hmm.
So he's definitely not the strongest.
Wait, he's 160 years old?
Yes, I believe so.
Actually,
I think my math is a bit wrong, actually.
I don't actually know how old Edward is.
Good question. I thought Edward would have been 100.
Yeah, probably something like that. 116, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's quickly
Googling it.
Yeah, I'm quickly Googling it right now. Right. Edward was born on June 20th, 1901.
Okay.
1901? No. Yeah, he was born then, but he turned into a vampire in 1918. Okay. Sorry. What is Damon's weakness as a vampire or as a person, if that's, you know, different?
Yeah. His...
Because I think you don't actually understand. I don't think you understand how OP how broken the Twilight vampires are. But I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Damon, yeah, he does have quite a few character flaws. Like he, for some reason, alcohol kind of seems to affect vampires in a way. So they can kind of get drunk.
Right.
I feel like he does get drunk and that kind of makes him a bit unaware of where things are going.
Mm-hmm.
He's also very angry and impulsive.
I did get that from the little snippets I've seen.
Yeah, so he might do something rash and pick on someone that's far stronger than him, and he has done that, and that often gets him into sticky situations, let's just say.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But because and I'm assuming in this universe, vampires have the typical weakness of being burnt in the sun.
Mm, oh, yes.
Can that kill? But him being old, does that make him less affected by that?
No, well, I did explain this last time.
Well, I'm sorry.
But, it's okay. It has been a while.
It's been like 4 or 5 months.
Okay. He has a daylight ring, so he can't be burnt. But if that's taken off, then yes, the sun does burn him.
And is there something like capable of like killing him if he doesn't have that artifact?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Bro,
you think you still have a chance?
Okay. So you sounded so unconfident when you said that. You're just like quietly.
I've not really sold it very well, have I?
Yeah, come on, Robert. This is your boy.
No, I'm still confident in him.
Okay. All right. So to talk about, like, then again, I could be wrong as well, because I don't actually know much about the Vampire Diaries. So maybe you'll remember something that will be like, oh, actually, you're right, you know? And so basically the thing about vampire biology in Twilight is that they're completely made out of marble. I can't think of a weakness that they have other than fire. Robert, chill the freak out. No, sorry.
I just remember seeing them being smashed to bits in one film, so it's like,
yes.
Obviously it's not just fire.
It is just fire. If they get smashed, they can still reconnect. They use their venom. So, like, let's say their arm got popped out of its socket, then they'll just use their venom. So, like, I don't know, slobber all over their arm and then, like, stick it back on. And it will burn like they
like
are being.
Image,
yeah,
really.
I know. I'm too. Yeah. But so you can dismember somebody and then they'll, like, be alive. The only way to truly kill a vampire is to break all the pieces and then burn them in a fire. I guess breaking the pieces just makes them, like, you know, die quicker because if they're chucked into a fire hole, if the fire's not quick enough, I mean big enough, they'll probably escape or something. But fire is the only thing that can permanently kill a vampire in
Stake to the heart.
No.
Really?
They have no heart. Well, if you read the book, Bella describes like kissing Edward like kissing a marble statue. When they're seated next to each other, Edward has to put a blanket in between them so that Bella doesn't go feel cold because he's literally ice. So heavy that if they go in the ocean, they cannot swim. They'll sink to the bottom.
Wow.
And they aren't reactive to the sun. They just sparkle.
Yeah, I remember that scene.
Yeah. So it's funny, but that makes them absolutely broken. There's the skin of a killer, Bella. But it makes them absolutely broken in terms of like their genes are like so superior. And that like goes... that doesn't even consider the special abilities that some vampires can have. And as you mentioned before, Edward, he can read minds. So if it was specifically with Damon, I'm not saying that Edward can solo anybody in the Vampire Diaries because I don't know all the characters. I'm sure there is powerful character out there. But Damon specifically, with what you've told me, I don't think the fog would really like matter much because he can hear what Damon is thinking. And if Damon doesn't know, doesn't know this, then he wouldn't be guarded. So, it can be like a proximity thing. So his eyes, like, isn't showing him anything, but the voice is telling him it's on the right, you know? Yeah.
Interesting.
Do you have anything to counter that?
Well, it's from what you're describing, it sounds like they're very hard to actually destroy.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if they're just hard. Does that mean they're hard to just incapacitate for the time being? Like, I agree that they could be hard to destroy forever for good.
Yeah.
But someone could still, like, I don't know, throw them in a lake and they just sink to the bottom of the ocean, basically.
Actually, you're right. That is a good point. So if you dismember somebody and you didn't have access to fire, or you're a vampire yourself and you're scared of fire, then you can just, like, put one arm in China and another arm in Russia and then the head at the bottom of a lake. That could count as incapacitated. They'll be alive and they'll just, like,
Sounds
be in
like
limbo.
An Egyptian myth. Sorry, I'm thinking of my Abydos project.
Oh, God. Yeah. How's that going?
No, that was last year.
Right. For those of you who don't know, we were taking like a theatre paper, not at the same time, but there's this one assignment that's like, it's like a lot. It's a lot.
The only thing I remember is that, is Abydos? No, Abydos is a place.
I don't even remember.
Osiris had his body separated into several parts.
Yes.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. No, actually, I was thinking about that as well. Curious. I was also remembering about the plaque that I read about, like, that guy, like, cursing his dead wife because his dead wife, like, cursed him or something.
Yeah. Yeah, Anubis or the jackal or
something like that. We're getting our lore so bad right now.
Yeah. I'm sure there are weird vampire myths that go back there anyway.
So. Do you know of, like, actually, do you think Edward and Damon would be friends? Like, do you think they'd get along?
I think early season Damon, I think Edward would absolutely hate him because early season Damon is pretty hateable for a lot. I mean, he's interesting to watch as an audience member, but
if you're
in the same world as him, there's a high likelihood he would kind of screw you over,
right?
Very much. But in the later series, he kind of turns over a new leaf, and in many ways, he becomes a lot more empathetic. And so, I don't know. I think Edward kind of seems very much like Stefan in a way. So I think Stefan and Edward are very similar characters. Like, they're both like vegetarian vampires that are only animals. Very sensitive, and they write diaries and they listen to music and, you know, they're gentlemanly and they're almost exactly the same characters.
Interesting.
Almost.
I do find, like, but could it be that because they're so similar that they hate each other? Because Edward has this interesting thing where he is absolutely crazy and he hates himself to a degree that is insane, to the point that, like, he broke up with Bella, left her in the woods, and even though he didn't want to do that because of for her safety, and he felt so bad and guilty about it that he was like, oh, especially after finding out that Bella died, quote-unquote died, in New Moon, he went to go kill himself via the government body of vampires in Twilight, the Volturi. Mm. Yeah, you're right. He is very emo. He's 17, forever stuck there, really overdramatic, and like, you know, woe is me kind of vibe. Like, that's him. And like, hey, he has a pretty face, but he is the most, like, toxic, non-ideal, like,
he's not a happy camper, is he?
Yeah, no. He keeps a lot of information from Bella, and he's got, like, this possessive controlling thing about him. Like, this is just a my theory thing, so this might not actually apply to him, but this is just how I view his character. I have no doubt that he loves Bella very, very much.
Yeah.
However, if it wasn't for the fact that he couldn't read Bella's mind, he would not have fallen for her at all. Because he has this view of Bella that
he's a psychic to both humans and vampires.
He can hear everyone's thoughts. For Bella's.
That's like True Blood.
Oh, interesting.
In
a lot of ways.
A lot of crossovers happening. I think
there's not much, especially during that time. There wasn't really much vampire media, to have some crossovers, and I think it was well loved tropes as well. So to see those reused, like, I'm not quite surprised.
Yeah.
But Edward had put this image onto Bella, like, thinking she's not like other girls. She's very pure. She's very naive. But we, as the audience, read the books within Bella's perspective, and we find that Bella is exactly like every other girl. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, but she is a teenage girl. She is insecure about how she looks. She looks at Edward and she finds him attractive. And lust is a strong word. at least early book one. Like, and she does like look at him and think, oh, I wonder what it's like to have him as my boyfriend, or like I don't know, like he's a really pretty guy and like appreciate typical teenage girl stuff, right?
Right.
But we find out in the book Midnight Sun, which is a retelling of Twilight within the perspective of Edward, how he hated this other side character, Jessica Stanley, played by immediately forgot her name. Doesn't matter. Anna Kendrick. So he hated Jessica because
Bella's friend.
Jessica because she had horrible thoughts about him and stuff like that. And then we read what those horrible thoughts are, and those very indecent, horrible thoughts of him, right?
Oh, right.
But then we see what actually she thought about, and it's just like, oh, I wonder what it's like, what it would be like if I could kiss him. And it wasn't even like a make-out.
Wow.
It was a lip-on-lip, just like a peck. He was like, horrible, like, how could you? This is so indecent. And then you see Twilight from Bella's perspective and her descriptions of Edward, and it's just like, girl was... She was shaking in the seams, like she was breaking. Like she's arguably worse than Jessica, possibly because she actually had a relationship with Edward at this point.
Okay,
but what I'm saying is, long story short, sorry, Edward would not have been attracted to Bella whatsoever if it wasn't for the allure of not being able to read her mind.
Yeah, that definitely makes her very special, and it mirrors. Almost exactly True. I know we're not talking about True Blood.
No, that's
but
fine.
I'm gonna talk about it anyway.
True Blood is a little bit more graphic.
It is a very much a graphic show, very much so. But it's a very good show. You should watch it. And the main character, Sookie Stackhouse, she is a mind reader. She is a psychic, or actually, she turns out to be a fairy in the end.
A fairy.
It's a weird story arc.
Wait a minute. That's. Okay, no.
Oh.
No, actually, yeah, you keep going.
Anyway, vampires are known to the world. Like, they've come out and they're interacting with the world, and they're, like, trying to pose, like, oh, we're not so bad and everything. And Sookie is obviously very annoyed that she can hear everyone's thoughts because she's hearing creepy thoughts from her boss. She hears the annoying thoughts of her friends. She's so fed up with it until she meets Bill Compton. And she cannot hear a single thought he's thinking because he's a vampire. Immediately that.
Oh, wait, so she's not a vampire?
Nope, she's a fairy.
Okay.
But you don't know that until the end of the series, basically.
Okay. But does she know she's a fairy?
Until later on.
So she thinks she's just a normal human who can read minds.
She just thinks she's a psychic kind of person. I think. It's been a while since I watched it.
Okay.
But yeah. So yeah, it's interesting how that mirrors that almost. Exactly.
You know, it's funny that you bring up fairy because, again, like this is just me.
She was a fairy.
Oh my God. I didn't realize you would know that meme. Like, isn't that a little bit too young for you?
I'm chronically online. I need to stop being online.
I believe that actually. That's very on brand of you. But again, this is just my theory. But I don't think the Cullens are vampires.
What? Do you think they're fairies?
I don't think they're fairies. I think they're fae.
But isn't that the same thing? Is it?
Edward.
Edward.
I called you Edward. Robert. Robert. You know that sound where it's like North Carolina is gone.
That was a weird feeling, being called Edward.
You know that sound where it's like North Carolina is gone,
Robert.
It's pissing me off.
It's pissing me off.
That's you right now.
That's sorry. Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Cullens are fae. Yes.
No, okay. This is just me. A lot of Twilight fans will disagree with me. Like, I'm very much like a conspiracy theorist in the fandom for this.
No, I'll hear you out. I'll hear you out.
But like, I don't know. Like, there's so much about them that is different from general Twilight, general vampire lore, right? Like, for example, they don't burn in the sun, right? They're the stake to the heart, like nothing, you know. Yeah. I think fae works better because Faye likes to trick humans and like dazzle them a little bit. And they're also amongst humans, but also like in the forest a little bit as well. Like I had this whole like essay written at one point, like just to myself. Just to myself, not to anyone else.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like this is making so much sense. Unfortunately, I cannot remember it right now. So this sounds like really, really weak and I sound like an absolute crazy person. But the reason why I say that this has some water, like some weight to it,
right,
is holds some water, there it is, is because the quote-unquote werewolves in Twilight aren't actually werewolves.
What are they?
They're shifters.
Shifters, right.
Yeah,
okay.
And this is acknowledged in the book. Stephanie Meyer like wrote, like said so herself, like, the real werewolves, the one that, like, you know, turns every full moon and, like, goes feral, that's called the Children of the Moon. And the government body of Twilight, like, had eradicated that entire species, or so they say.
Okay.
But clearly the tribe that Jacob is from, I can't pronounce it, is it Quileute? I think the Quileute tribe. They can shift whenever. It's tied to their emotions, but they keep their mind. It's sound. And it doesn't have anything to do with the moon. So it's acknowledged in the book that they aren't werewolves. They're shifters. And they themselves don't know that they're not real werewolves. So it implies that there's like a wider supernatural world out there. As well, this is like super niche knowledge. You know, Amun, the Egyptian god, he's actually, in Twilight, he is just a really old vampire.
Okay.
And he mythologized himself.
Right.
But in the last movie, we get like that hybrid of like vampire human thing, right? And we get to see, I think his name was like Noel or something like that. And I don't know, like I have a feeling like I think there was like at one point something with witches or like it's implied. So I wouldn't be surprised if Fae exists as well. And with the category of what Fae falls under, like that sounds more like the Collins or like the vampires of Twilight than what suits, like, you know, the vampires of Vampire Diaries. You know, they're very different.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's me.
You're deep in the rabbit hole, aren't you?
I kid you not. As soon as I figured out about this since I was 12, goner.
Yeah, it doesn't have. Yeah, I mean, I see what you mean. It's like they don't know everything about themselves. And the vampires in Twilight are a bit strange in a way. It's like they're not very typical. They don't really. Their teeth are kind of pathetic as well.
They're human teeth, yeah.
That's what's going on there.
Exactly, right? That's like the core Twilight. No, the core vampire trait.
Absolutely. The only thing is that they need to drink blood. Although fairies, I feel like we're going to be learning about fairies in our medieval class. But I feel like they're quite tricksters.
From what we learned in medieval literature, like then they like possess like that girl and like a fire or something, like,
yeah, they're meant to be quite promiscuous as I think.
Like I've seen like interpretations where they've got really sharp rabid teeth, you know, and like the only way to sate them is to give them bowls of blood because you broke an oath or like something like that, right?
Yeah,
so I mean, like, could be accurate. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Your theory holds in water weight, or whatever you said earlier.
Robert, I'm going to call you Edward again.
Edward,
it's pissing me off. In Vampire Diaries, is there any other like supernatural creatures that exist?
Unfortunately, there are.
Unfortunately,
yeah, because I don't. There are, but I don't like to talk about them so much because they're not done very well at all.
Oh, interesting. Tell me more.
Oh God. There are things called travelers. Well, I don't want to talk about them. They're horrible. Okay. They're so boring.
Okay.
There are sirens, which are kind of like mermaids.
I love sirens.
They poor execution.
Oh.
Which is obviously there are werewolves and they do change on the full moon, although they can kind of do it themselves after a while. No, wait. Right. I remember. There are hybrids, so half vampires and half werewolves, which mm-hmm. I don't know if that was a good decision to put them in there.
Why?
Well,
too OP?
There's that. It's just a weird amalgamation. It's a bit much, you know?
Right.
Like, being a vampire or being a werewolf should be enough in and of itself. Like, why do you need to be both a werewolf and a vampire? And,
yeah.
like, that's what's going on.
It just seems
at that
too,
point.
Like, wish fulfillment, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to write a story about, like,
it's
like what we're learning in medieval literature, like, you know,
yeah.
monsters, where it's like, you know, where nature went wrong.
Yeah. Because it's like they're kind of already a hybrid in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like a werewolf is a hybrid. You're half human,
that is true.
Half. So you're kind of like not a hybrid, you're a tribrid kind of. What else? There's thing called hunters. And there's like supernatural vampire hunters. So they're kind of they're not really that special, but they're just a bit stronger than a human and they're able to hunt vampires basically.
Okay.
There's probably some other things I forgot, but those are the main ones. Yeah. But hybrids.
And you said like
it was. No,
you go ahead.
Are there no hybrids in Twilight?
There is. It's a human vampire hybrid.
Isn't that just a normal vampire? What?
So Bella and Edward have a baby while Bella is still human, and in the way that Twilight works.
Yeah.
Vampires are infertile, or so they think. Or actually, the women are infertile, but the men, for some reason,
okay.
aren't. And
but Bella's special or something.
Hmm?
But Bella's special. Or
no,
something?
It's not. It's not Bella because Bella was human when it happened. The thing is, vampires are so brutishly strong, and that they don't really have fun with their food. You know. They just eat the food and then move on. You don't
right.
choose to, you know, let's have a baby. You know, they don't do that.
No.
But no, Edward and Bella were crazy. And even Jacob himself was just like, you're actually going to die. Like, if you'd stay human and remain.
I would
like,
hate to be Jacob at that point. That's,
yeah, no,
that's quite a low point,
for
isn't
real.
It?
Like,
please don't bang him.
Yeah, no.
Like,
she was like, he was like, don't consummate your marriage while you're still human. That's, like, ridiculously stupid.
God.
And she was like, no, I really... She was down bad. She was desperate. She was, like, frothing at the mouth for it. Like, it was serious.
Oh.
And it somehow worked out because, like, Edward loved her enough to try. But it took, like, a supreme amount of control. And somehow she got pregnant. That should have killed her.
Right.
Because the pregnancy went by too quickly. So by the time she was like one day pregnant, she was already 2 months along, kind of thing.
Right, right.
So it was going by too quickly for her human body to take.
Mm.
And the vampire in her stomach was eating her nutrients and sucking the life out of her, literally.
Great.
So that's where all the big conflict came from.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Jacob, you know, I feel bad for my boy Jacob.
That's rough. I feel like we talked about him a lot last time. He's quite a tragic
character. He got nerfed so hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, we talked about him too much last time. So, well.
Yeah, sorry, Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob,
we
actually care about you that much.
I feel bad for him, but yeah.
Who do you think was a character in Vampire Diaries that you thought, like, was done dirty?
Ooh.
Because it was a quite long-running show.
Definitely Stefan was done dirty, I think. I think I might have talked about that last time. But, yeah, Stefan was done very dirty because he had a pretty good relationship with Elena.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty quickly he got ripped away from her because of Damon.
Right.
Because she fell in love with Damon.
As you do.
as everyone does. So he kind of got done dirty, and he did have a lot of interesting character points. Like, he was what they called a ripper, which means that he basically goes insane and rips people to shreds, basically.
Fun. Is this where Jack the Ripper comes from?
Probably, yeah. Actually, yeah.
In that universe, yeah.
Probably. I haven't thought about that before. The rip is, yeah. So I think he was done pretty dirty, I think.
Remind me who Elena ended up with in the end?
Damon.
Oh, dang. Yeah, that sucks.
I think Stefan ended up with with Elena's friend Caroline, but their chemistry was pretty forced in a way. So yeah, it's a shame. He just kind of becomes like a weird side character thing.
So like he was written off of his own show.
Basically, and the show was centered, like it was from his perspective. His journal was like, in the start of every episode, is like, oh, I'm writing this journal for over a century. I have to know her and everything. And then he just gets kind of dropped off and
it's
forgotten about, really. I think it's
and
that's
just because Damon was probably the more popular fan choice, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think.
Because it seemed like from the beginning, it was supposed to be them two that was in game because, I don't know much about VD, but.
No, that is clear.
There's like trauma in your eyes as you say that.
She should have at least watched one episode of it before we did this. Like I've seen the Twilight films.
Sorry.
You should watch a clip.
I've watched clips. I've watched clips of Caroline, Catherine, the blonde one, the one that Stephen ends up with.
Yeah.
She of her like you know switching personalities or whatever.
Ah, okay.
Or is that Elena?
I can't even remember. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry to have disappointed you, Robert. I didn't think I had to do homework.
It's all right. It's all right.
I'm too deep in the Twilight hole to even like think about like other vampires
There's so many other vampire media things out there.
There are other. Sorry, that reminds me of the B movie. The B movie, you know, the human boyfriend was like, are there other bugs in your life? In this case, it's are there other vampires in your life?
Oh, my God.
But actually,
love that movie.
I want you to answer seriously the question that we asked in the beginning.
Oh, God.
Who is the most attractive vampire in Vampire Diaries, do you think?
That is a question.
The question that you cannot legally answer.
How can I say this without getting into trouble? I think this is going to sound incredibly niche.
I love niche answers.
But I used to play this game called The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Never heard of it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you have heard of it?
Yeah.
And there are vampires there, obviously. And they actually have an interesting idea on vampires. They're like different species of vampires. And anyway, there was this vampire called a Bruxa or something like that. And you know what? I was like, yeah, you know what? That's.
And how does this vampire look like? What was attractive to
you? They
look
like a normal woman for a start.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of go a bit berserk and they their fingers like extend, so they're like giant claws.
Right.
And then she starts like howling at you and like that it's so strong that it knocks you over. I don't know why.
Okay. Big scary monster lady. That's
absolutely
the one for you. Huh?
That's my final answer, locking that in.
I should just put on some quiz music.
I should have actually said
answer.
The safe answer, like Elena or.
That's a good answer.
Oh,
because
God.
It's like it reminds me of that.
I fear I may have exposed myself.
What is that game? I think it was Resident Evil or something.
Okay.
Like it's a zombie game, and then there was this like Madame that came out, and it's this really tall, big lady with the big hat.
Yeah, yeah.
She first came out, everyone was like simping. Did you simp?
Well, I didn't play the game, but I definitely came across those videos. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was funny because you're supposed to be scared of that woman, but everyone was just like thirsting.
Damn,
over,
mommy.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, for real. I get that. So what I'm saying is I sort of understand. I understand the appeal. Because I think women in the same sense do like a similar thing. Like, that's why women like teenage girls or stuff like that
attractive
are
attractive to be strong in a way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's a little subversive. Maybe.
Yep. Cut away.
We
away.
Can, edit that out,
nope.
Right?
Nope.
Okay. Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. But no, I totally understand what you're talking about.
Okay.
There's something about that control, right? Of like seeing that power be like embodied so confidently on somebody, especially on somebody who doesn't usually have it. In typically portrayed media, it's like does subvert the genre.
I think this kind of thing I like about vampires is that they're kind of mysterious as well. Like, and that's how they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be kind of lurking in the background. They're supposed to eat people without being seen, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to. Whereas a lot of shows now, they don't seem to care about that. They're like, well, humans might see us, but you know what? I don't care.
Yeah. I really. Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, thank you. I will answer that question. Oh, I can't believe you remembered me. No, I'm sorry. Thank you for asking the question.
Who is your answer?
Okay. I have to say it's like a hard pick between Alice and Bella from Twilight. I don't know much like them.
So because of Alice's haircut?
Actually, I wasn't a fan of her haircut when I first watched it.
I just remember it was very like
it was very pixie.
Sweepy,
yeah, it was. It's cute. Like I've grown to like it over the years.
Oh, is it because the way she like threw that ball in baseball? Like
you have such vivid memories of this woman.
How can you not remember that?
No, I do.
If I remember one scene of Twilight, it's the
iconic.
Baseball scene.
That throw was iconic.
It was.
I don't know. Like, she embodied such grace. I think she's the most pixie-like out of all of them, the most fae-like.
Yeah.
But she had such grace about her. And then with Bella, it's just that, really, it's just the actress. Like, the actress, Kristen Stewart, she's just gorgeous.
Yeah, of course.
You know, in Vampire Diaries, Stefan and Damon.
I'm scared of this question.
That's why I didn't watch it.
I didn't really
find them attractive.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough.
And as
that's
a kid, enough. They scared me more than anything. Oh. Not in a, like, oh my God, like, monster on my bed scary, but more like a creepy uncle scary.
Yeah.
So that's what I just was, like, kind of, like, turned off from it for
a
long time.
I completely get
that.
And I think it's a thing with a lot of TV shows where they hire actors that are obviously not 17 years old and they look
for
kind
like
of,
the legality and stuff saving money
and it's like why are you hanging around the high school
especially kind of with the idea of like vampires being older than how they look and all that. But yeah, it's the same reason why I put off watching Teen Wolf for the longest time.
Sure.
Because have you seen Teen Wolf?
I think I've seen a little bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah, like I know like a lot of people was really like into Derek Hale and stuff like that, and I was just like, I'm not. He's just creepy uncle. Like it's just giving really weird. But it could be the fact that when I found these stories, I was really young myself.
Yeah.
So I wasn't quite the teenager like girl demographic that they were going for. Like first time I saw Vampire Diaries, I was probably like 12. Maybe 11. Oh. Like, I was really young.
Yep.
And I just saw that one scene of Elena cutting her finger at the sink.
Mm.
And then creepy uncle guy, I think it was Stefan, his eyes, like, turn black. And then he's like, trying to control himself. And I'm just like,
approach. That's how you call him creepy uncle guy.
That was my first impression. Like, now I'm older. I'm just like, oh, okay, I can get behind this.
Yeah.
But it's such a strong, like, first memory.
Yeah. Especially, I think the actress, Nina Dobrev, who plays Elena, I think she was definitely around the normal high school age,
mm-hmm.
at like 17.
I mean, even if she wasn't, she looked it. She had the height. She had the round eyes.
Yeah. And then you got Stefan and Damon, they're just circling the high school. Like,
bro fully has
a
stubble. Like, what do you mean you're 16 or 17
Yeah,
or
and there's something about Damon's jaw, which he just looks like he's...
he's like always clenching it, right?
Yeah, I think he had some work done, honestly.
You heard it here first, folks.
Anyway, sorry, Ian Somerhalder, if you're here, if you listen to this.
For sure.
Love you. But yeah, I'm watching this series as well called The Magicians, and I have the same problem where it's like they're pretending to be like they're in high school, but they're obviously not. Like they're not my age, basically.
Right.
So they're very old. And you can see, like, the some wrinkles and, like, the stubble, and it's just, it feels
right,
so
okay.
weird.
It's yeah, so and weird. I know, it is very weird.
This is getting off topic a bit.
No, it's fine. The thing is, if anyone's been, like, listening to Thoughts and Theories long enough, they know I never stay on topic. But I think the reason why they do that, of course, is because if they're under, like, the legal age, then they have to, by law, like, provide schooling and, like, you know, supervision or whatever, like, these extra things that cost money and time.
I think it's also, like, for them, it's more safe and reliable to have an actor that has, like, a background. Like
some experience.
Yeah, like, we know you can act, even if you look a bit weird now. Like, we know you can...
Sorry.
Like, right. we know. Yeah. I think that might be part of it.
So it's an economical decision, but...
Yeah.
You know what I wish that TV brought back?
Do tell, Asha.
Why sound so sarcastic?
Just say it.
I wish that they brought back, like, you know, hiring, like, these, like, kids out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, letting them build. Like, I want like, my 8-season shows back. Like, I don't, like, those 20-minute episodes, like, 15 episodes per season type thing. Like, I don't want this high-quality budget, like, 7-episode one, like,
you don't like the miniseries.
Yeah, I don't like it because it's, like... No. First of all, they're either regular, they're, like, well-known names, or they're pretty people who can't act.
Yeah.
Production is so high that it's, like, you have to wait 2 years before the next season comes out. And by that point, it's just, like, I actually don't care anymore. Like, I want to bring back, like, the cringy 2000s bad quality show era, because that was youth.
I hate seeing the same actors all over again. Like, what's her name? Yeah, anyway. What's her name? The Australian actress.
Margot Robbie?
Well, her too. Like, I think she's a brilliant actress and everything, but sometimes you're just like, oh, you're always there, you know?
Yeah,
like,
no, I understand.
Like, someone else can have the spotlight for a change, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're Australian, so obviously I don't like them.
Why?
Australian.
Okay. Got that true Kiwi spirit in you. I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding. Do not get
I lost my train of thought.
Oh God. Well, that's not new in your old age. So, you know, I'll let you rest. I'll let you relax. Thank you so much for coming onto the show today, Robert.
Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure as always. And I hope to have you on again and we can talk more about TV shows in general. Maybe other supernatural creatures from different shows, things like that. I did briefly talk about Teen Wolf. That could be a thing as well.
Ooh, okay.
But yeah, is there anything you would like to say before we head off?
No, just thank you so much. Again, I'm going to shout out my girlfriend, Alice.
Yo, what's up, Alice?
And thank you.
Keep an eye on your boy.
thank you for letting me make you watch The Vampire Diaries, because I kind of forced her to do that a little bit. But, yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. Guys, please stay safe out there. Thank you for listening. Pay attention to the news, but also don't drain yourself. I know things are really scary and dire at the moment. But yeah, I think the best course of action right now is just to stay educated. Know what's happening around the world, because it will affect you. But yeah, again, like, don't let it drain you too much. As always, free Palestine, free Sudan, boycott Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Starbucks, Disney, and stay safe out there. Thank you. Love you.
Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.